Let's get to our guest, Rebecca Felton, who's with us for this half hour, a senior market strategist at Riverfront Investment Group. Rebecca, the Federal Reserve and leading officials are trying to keep up a brave face about staying tight. But then on the same hand, or at the same time, they're saying that they'll be data dependent. So there's a little bit of a conflict in that. If you're data dependent, then should you really be telling us that there won't be any rate cuts next year?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I think that they are right to stay firm because we don't see inflation getting anywhere close to that 2% plus, I think, 2 to 4% target range. By the end of the year, maybe at best, you could see it down to 6. So knowing what their target is and knowing what their intentions are, we don't expect to see them pivot anytime soon. They could very easily, and I think they've conveyed that, keep rates high and not, you know, keep them high, stop raising, but keep them high. And I think that that's of concern as well.
Well, obviously we're on radio, so charts don't work too well, but there is a chart on the Bloomberg terminal today that indicates the swaps market still expects a rate cut later in 2023. So who's going to win this arm wrestle, the Fed or the market?
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be the Fed. You know, I think that they've been very clear and to your point earlier about being data dependent, we have started to see some softening in prices in some of the various data points, but we're still well above where they want them to be. You know, even when we had the pullback in gasoline, for example, we're still, what, a dollar or so more than where we were before the pandemic. So there's a long ways to go to get to what they consider appropriate.
Well, it's language, though. I mean, we know they're trying to use language to stay tight because they want to beat inflation, but nobody knows what's going to happen. In fact, last year, they thought rates would be at 0.25% right now, and look where they are. So, you know, you can't really put too much stake in what somebody's guessing is going to be the conditions in the middle to the latter part of next year.
Of course. And one thing that we have to get through much sooner than that is earnings season, which will start in earnest next week. And I think we're going to learn a lot as that begins, particularly, you know, we're going to be listening to what companies are saying about if they can maintain pricing power, what their demand is looking like, because those are things that we have heard very strong reports on over the last several quarters. And we need to see that in order for that earnings momentum to turn back positive. You know, we've been seeing the estimates go down and down and down, and I think we need to see some stabilization and some improvements in tone in order to feel that we've bottomed, at least on a valuation basis, and at least that those earnings estimates have bottomed.
And Rebecca, you were talking about earnings as we headed into the break. We hear a lot of talk about an earnings recession in the next quarter. What are your expectations?
Well, We have concerns about that as well. I think that the bar has been set very low. Earnings have now come down, I think, for Q3 to sub 3%, depending on what source you're looking at. So it's very clear that the trajectory seems lower. But what they say, I think, is going to be more important than what they report, because that is going to be the forward-looking data in terms of what they're seeing in terms of business trends, pricing pressures, their ability to raise prices. And I think that will be the key to a resumption in the markets if they can turn the tide on the momentum that we've seen in the revision rate, right? We've been seeing it go down. We need to see that reverse. And it's hard to tell right now until we start hearing them talk.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the data. We had reasonably positive data today with private sector jobs, and I guess the consumer is looking pretty reasonable here. Do you think it mainly comes down to wages? And so that's one of the reasons why we could be pretty cautious this week waiting for the non-farm payrolls?
Of course. We know that wages have risen over 5% year over year, but of course inflation has outstripped that. We're seeing changes in consumer buying patterns, be it at the grocery store, being in their travel plans, you know, trading down on brands and making trips shorter. So clearly the consumer votes with dollars, and I think that that will be a key component to keep the economy growing. Wages have been strong, but it sounds like with some of the pre-announcements that we have heard that that may be a thing of the past because we're hearing more about layoffs, hiring freezes, the wage increases are slowing, and so that part of the inflationary picture may be over.
How much more do you think the consumer can endure in this regard? Because consumer strength has been, one of the underpinnings of what we've been seeing in the macro picture thus far. And could that be the bit of data that the Fed is watching out for?
Of course. Particularly when you think about what we're seeing in the housing market, how many contracts have been canceled, mortgage applications continue to fall. People are being priced out of being able to afford a new home purchase. So it's not just grocery shopping and gasoline. It's big purchases, too. People, the job openings number today was lower. The quit rate seems to be a little lower. So it sounds like people are staying put and sort of waiting out what goes on in the economy.
Yeah, and we're seeing rising rents leading to people maybe living together more, moving back in with family. In Connor Sen's piece on the Terminal, he reports that RealPage Market Analytics said that apartment demand in the third quarter was much weaker than seen in the past couple of years, and owner's equivalent rents plays a big role in CPI.
Of course, and to your point, we had seen rents going very high year over year. Earlier in the year, we've seen some moderation there, but perhaps the damage was done, to your point, about folks moving back home or more people living together. Because, once rents go up, they don't typically lower them for you. That is obviously of concern. Housing in general is more expensive. We know there are a lot more folks who are living paycheck to paycheck. They're relying on those credit cards, and of course, those rates are going higher too, putting those consumers further at risk. So there is a lot to be cautious about with the consumer, given how much of GDP they are responsible for. We're still in wait-and-see mode in terms of what we would think that they're going to do over the next 12 months. But to your point, they've held in so far. We can hope that continues.
All right, Rebecca Felton, thanks so much for joining us today on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Rebecca Felton is Senior Market Strategist at Riverfront Investment Group.